It's time again for 3-Point Podcast. Three sports guys, three generations, and three hot takes. The triple threat includes baby boomer Ted Patel of Z92.5 The Castle. Our Gen Xer is Matt Burns of ESPN and the SEC Network out of Charlotte, North Carolina. The millennial man is Jared Patel of Bally Sports Detroit. Comments and questions can be sent by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Follow 3-Point Podcast on social media at 3-Point Pod. The fellows will get it rolling right after this from our partners.
Check out the Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center in the Now building on the campus of Memorial Healthcare. Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center includes locker rooms, private showers, steam rooms, a sauna, a lap pool, and more, including a raised track for walking and running with views of the entire Memorial campus and surrounding area. Personally, I love it, man. Sunday, Saturday morning, get in there, get a good workout in, hit the sauna up, and I also do the steam room. So it's a perfect spot. I mean, I think it's only $12 for a day pass, but for those of you who are looking to join for a winter membership, it's up to 15% off for your membership when it's paid in full. Memorial Healthcare strives to bring healthcare and wellness together, servicing patient needs from diagnosis to treatment to rehab and beyond. For more details, go online at www.memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE. That's 989-720-2273.
Rivals Tap House and Grill is the area's go-to spot for the best in food and drink. Meet up with your friends and catch your favorite sporting events on over 20 high-def flat-screen TVs.
And our 120-inch projection screen.
Rivals can handle your large or small parties and is an awesome spot to put on your fundraising events. Weekly food and drink specials including gourmet burgers, wings, pizza, homemade soup, and salads. Rivals also stocks a large selection of craft and domestic brews. Rivals Tap House and Grill, the official gathering spot of 3-Point Podcast, located on the corner of Shiawassee and M21 in Corona.
It's time for episode 304 of the 3-Point Podcast. We are presented by the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center, backed by popular demand. Join Rachel for 3-2-1 Total Body Thursday, March 21st at 4:30. Also, check out memorialhealthcare.org for details and everything they offer. Sign up for kids' swimming lessons. Swimming season's right around the corner. Few spots are still available. Also want to thank our other great partners, AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook & Associates Real Estate Services, Nelson House Funeral Homes, Rivals Tap House & Grill, and Success Group Mortgage and Servicing. You know, we're going to keep this one kind of tight. Jared's got some big duties, going to be working at the Breslin this weekend. I'm assuming you're going to be working again the following weekend for the girls' finals, right?
No, I'm on vacation, man. Heading to Clearwater.
Oh, spring break.
Yep, spring break, March 21st. Been counting down the days. We're almost there. Less than a week to go. So, boys' weekend this week, it kind of worked. You know, not that there's anything wrong with the girls' weekend. Both weekends are awesome in their own ways. But, I mean, we have so many ties to the boys' basketball scene. And my brother's obviously a basketball coach. So, it's kind of nice that they switched them around this week or this year. And I can still make it to the boys' weekend. So
How did it work out that way? Because it was always the other way around. Did the girls' playoffs just start a week later or something? Yeah.
And I don't really know why. Because the story I heard, there was a conflict at the Breslin, but there apparently isn't. So maybe for the girls' weekend, which was going to be the following weekend. Do you know the story on that, Jared?
To be honest, I don't know what just happened. My audio just cut out for about 30 seconds. Now I'm back.
We were just wondering why they flipped the weekends this year.
I don't know. I think it's one of those things. I think it's going to be the new norm where every year they'll flip flop. I think. I mean, I thought I remembered kind of similar, like to when boys and girls games, like sometimes the girls would play at 7 o'clock, sometimes the boys would play at 5:30. I think that's kind of just another example of this, of them flipping it around. Kind of works out nice. I mean, if you remember, it's like, a lot of those boys' weekends, man, you would have these great games at the state finals, but everybody would be on spring break. Like, mm-hmm. I remember Grand Rapids Catholic Central versus Williamston a couple years ago, all-time classic game. Hardly anybody there because everybody's on spring break. So,
wow. Just goes to show you what's happened in society, that spring break has taken over. Everybody has to be involved in that for sure, including yourself, which is okay. Right. I get it, man. Right. People need a break and get ready.
Didn't something happen recently where her – I don't want to call anyone out because I'm trying to remember who it was, but some team like had to forfeit because their players went on spring break and just stop showing up for games.
That was a big ordeal on this pod, you know, a few years ago after the whole COVID thing when, you know, they stormed the governor's building. I'm an idiot. What's it called in Lansing?
The Capitol.
When they stormed the Capitol with picket signs saying, let us play.
Right.
Finally, they let them play, only for a couple of months later for a lot of teams to have to end up forfeiting because people wanted to go on spring break. So,
right.
Yeah, it was kind of ironic. And yes, that did happen, Matt, with not just one team. That was a like mass genocide of the entire season.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a feeling that we really didn't get the correct answer on the flip-flop. So let's edit this and move on. We'll find out. We got to do a little more research.
What other?
It could be. I'd be curious if that's why the spring break thing. Maybe they want to give, you know, the girls the other weekend 1 year and flip-flop it. Why should one always be on spring break week? Well, and you know, that might be the reason. Yeah,
thank you, Matt. Are you so dismissive of it, that Ted? That's like a pretty, I'm guessing that's probably why are you acting like it's like the dumbest thing you ever heard?
I didn't say it was the dumbest thing ever. I just said I just want to make sure we have our facts straight. It might be right, but I hadn't heard that they're flip-flopping.
I would argue that it's more an indictment on yourself. You've been doing all these games all freaking season, you never thought to ask that.
I'm retired. I'm not putting in the time.
That's Casey's job. That's Casey's job.
That's right. By the way, since we're doing a quick catch up, a couple things. You saw my post of stopping into our sponsor Rivals and trying out their brand new breakfast burger. And, you know, don't make fun of me for being fat, but it was outstanding. I got to give three thumbs up on their breakfast burger. I mean, it has an egg on the top. It's got a thin layer of hash browns. It has bacon on it. And then their burgers are fantastic to begin with. And on top of that, you throw in homemade French fries. You can't go wrong, man. Try it out.
The picture of it looks amazing. I did see you get to choose what, maple syrup or like raspberry preserves? Wow. What did you go with?
I actually went with the waitress's recommendation, Thousand Island. And that was kind of a game changer. It really added a lot of flavor to that burger. It was awesome.
So that changes everything, because if it's supposed to be breakfast.
Right.
I don't ever put Thousand Island on a breakfast, you know. So, but it's a burger, so that makes sense. Man, that's a lot of flavors in one bite.
When did you get it? Was it a, you know, like 1 p.m. or was that a nighttime snack you had?
No, it was 5:30. It was dinner. It was dinner time.
Nice.
Had the burger, had a couple of drafts off the tap. So it was a fun night out. We went out with another couple and had a good time. One other thing I just want to throw in, because we can kind of all chat on this a bit, and it's kind of a tease for Tedertainment tonight. I took Jared's advice and started watching Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, the unedited version, which, you know, extra, I mean, really long, let's put it that way. Yeah. I'm halfway through the three movies, but I agree with you. It's fantastic. Very well done. And I think I texted you guys. And again, we keep trying to get Matt involved and interested in Game of Thrones. It had that feel to it. It really did. But it was the original.
Right. It's kind of like a better version where, I don't know, I guess you were kind of teeing up Poor Things before we started recording. So I don't know, maybe this is the type of stuff you like, but kind of like Lord of the Rings is like the pure version of like Game of Thrones without all the like kind of like sex and all that sort of stuff, where it's almost like just a better story. It's like, yeah, that stuff is kind of nice. I mean, we don't hate it. You know, that's why Game of Thrones is partially why it's so popular. But also it's like Lord of the Rings is like, hey, this is a simple story, but it's like got a lot of, you know, underlying meanings that like when you do a little bit more digging and research, it's like you kind of appreciate it a lot more. So that's where I'm at. It's like at surface level, you're like, oh, this is just orcs running against short little elves that are called hobbits. Like, no, there's a lot more to it than that.
There's a lot more to it.
Yeah, I'm glad you are. I'm actually surprised that you like it. I didn't think that would be the way that this would go.
No, it was very enjoyable so far. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how it all ends. I do get your comment about, up to this point, I'm halfway through one and a half movies. You know, it seems like the only power is, like you said, you turn invisible, you know, right?
I'll be honest to God, and this is like where it's like the underlying, like maybe there's some things maybe the movie didn't quite explain that well. I still don't think they truly kind of explain that the whole way. You don't ever get the big, like all of a sudden Frodo's swinging a massive sword and killing 50 people.
Right.
It's like you don't ever really get that payoff. So,
okay. Well, don't give me a spoiler alert.
That's not really a spoiler. I think it's more so now your expectations are set that, basically, the power of the ring, my understanding is, actually, I'm not even going to say it because I have no idea. It's powerful, man. Just accept it that it's powerful, and we'll move on from it.
It's powerful in like a bad way, you know. Right. There's that whole meaning of letting the power get to your head and stuff. Right. Ends up becoming a theme of the movie. But yeah, not to ruin any of it, but
yeah,
it's cool too, because yeah, we'll probably talk a little more in Tedertainment tonight. But
yep,
I think Jared, you said, and Ted, I'm sure you agree, they hold up. Like those movies now are basically 20 years old or whatever. And, you know, sometimes you go back and watch those movies with a lot of CGI and a lot of, you know, animation or whatever. And now it's like, oh, that looks pretty cheesy. But at least, you know, Jared's review, and Ted, I'm sure you'd say the same thing. Like it looks pretty good still. And
it does.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, especially with the high def and on a big screen TV, it's very solid in the plot. You can't hardly beat it. So looking forward to watching the rest of that. Yeah, the music was awesome.
The scenery and everything, they are very good.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to get into The Hobbit, because then there's the spinoff, it's like the prequel series.
Yeah. Yep.
I did
see to watch those. As an I don't know if they're good or not. I've heard bad things. They just seem like a little bit of a money grab to me, but
yeah,
I don't know. People seem to like them as well, but I haven't taken the time to go back and watch them. I have one little thing on sports real quick. And we actually talked about this for like probably 10, 15 seconds a week or two ago. The big shot clock debate in high school sports. I feel like I didn't explain why I'm so anti shot clock, and I just want to have 20, 30 seconds here to explain why. Why
the clock is going. I'm watching the clock.
Yeah.
The shot clock is going
on the record. now I'm rattled. Why we can't have a shot clock in high school sports. If you think about it, what is Ted? This is a good question for you. You've watched a lot of basketball in years. What defense is the purest defense? What is true basketball? What defense is that? Is it man to man? Is it 2-3? Is it, you know, full court press? In your opinion, what's the perfect display of basketball skill?
Man to man.
Perfect. Right. If you add a shot clock in, we already have an influx, basically an infection of zone. And I get it. It makes sense for teams to do it. My brother's team, Freeland, they got killed by having no shot clock against Saginaw Arthur Hill in their district final game because they could not guard them man-to-man. And if you cannot guard man-to-man, to me, having a shot clock makes it so that teams can just sit in that zone all day without any repercussions. But if you have no shot clock, that's when you can play the stall ball. It's funny how the complaints when teams hold it for a whole quarter or something like that is, oh, wow, I can't believe they just held it for a whole quarter. Not, why doesn't this team that's playing defense go pressure the ball and they can't hold it? Why is it always, oh, it's such a shame that they hold the ball. People are booing in the stands when it's happening. I hate that. To me,
right.
By not having a shot clock, it makes it so that it levels the playing field where, yes, teams that play a zone, and especially in high school basketball, have a serious advantage. But guess what? If your team is that good and they simply can't guard you man-to-man, this is the great equalizer, is not having that shot clock. That's the way I feel it. Do you guys view it any differently?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair because, yeah, you would have teams just sitting in a zone and – I mean, like the game you just explained, the Freeland Saginaw Arthur Hill, you'd have that situation going on. The people booing should be booing the team that's not playing defense. That's what I always say. Like, the offensive team doing the delay, it's a little cheesy to me, but I understand if a team is not going to come pressure you and you have the lead, yeah, I'll just sit here and hold the ball and run the clock out, I guess, if that's what you want to do. So, right, like – you could boo both sides, but boo the team that's not going up and playing defense. Like if you don't like the delay, go get the ball.
I agree with both of your points on that. And you almost have to break it down. Put your coaching hat on or put your fan hat on. Coaching hat makes sense. You know, you got to do whatever you got to do to win, whether it's hold the ball, whether it's to pressure defense. I get that part. But as a fan, and especially if you're a fan of the team that is holding the opposite of holding the ball, the team that's holding the ball, you're the fan of the defense. You're just, what on earth is going on here? And I get what you're saying. Go out and play defense, but it's boring. It's just, it takes away from
basketball. Is what's boring is the team sitting in zone. It's get out there and defend. I mean, think about the best basketball. I mean, we had Coach Beebe on from Lanesburg. Unfortunately, they lost. But we had Coach Beebe on for Lanesburg. He's talking about this Freeland versus Lanesburg game, how it's such a great game. You know, they had two turnovers. That's because both teams are playing man-to-man, and they're running up and down the floor, and it's two pretty equally matched teams. If one of those teams decided we're going to sit in the zone this entire time, you don't get that same magical game that we saw. So to me, it's just, it's one of those things that drives me irrationally mad. And I promise you, I will, sorry to Jacob's insurance agency, if the shot clock is added to high school basketball, I will refuse to talk about it anymore. I can't stand it. It's, we can't have it.
I will say that I do agree with the fact that you can't sit back in a zone and not get it. You know what I mean? I mean, if a team is willing to hold the ball up front, you got to man up. I mean, you know, you can try it for 30 seconds, but then you got to come out and play man to man. That's all there is to it. Well, the team is at fault that sits back in the zone and just allows the other team to hold it out front.
And you made the comment that it's boring. I guess this is what I should have said in my last statement. You made the comment that it's boring when they hold it. It's boring watching a team run 2-3. It's effective and it works. It wins you ball games, but I would categorize that as boring as well.
Well, come on. I mean, if you play a 2-3 and the other team's trying to attack the attack the defense, that's not boring.
I mean, yeah, think about Jim Boeheim. Jim Boeheim won a lot of games in college basketball running the 2-3 zone.
Right.
Didn't win very many national titles, of course, but he won a lot of games. As a former player, again, you got to think about trying to put yourself back in high school, where you're going to listen to everything your coach is telling you. But I would like to think the competitor in me, if I'm on the defense and that team is just out there delaying and my coach at first is saying, just sit back, you know, stay in the zone. I feel like I'd be like, no, this is ridiculous. The clock is going down. Like, I'm going to go out and get the ball. But at the same time, you know, at that time, you're going to listen to what your coach is telling you to do. But, you know, the competitor in me says, like, I would not want to sit there, play defense, and it's just watch the clock tick, tick, tick while we're losing the game.
Yep.
You know, like, hey, we're losing. Like, what are we doing?
Right. Well, it's funny, man. It's like, think about, like, to me, it's what's funny about it in high school is it'll be like in a regional final or, a quarterfinal where, like, this will happen and people will have a big tizzy about it. It's like, are these teams really that unequally matched? Like, is this team that's holding the ball like the Harlem Globetrotters or something, where you guys seriously can't match up athletically and go out there and cover them? Like, there was a team that was like 23-0 that this happened to, and you just sat on your hands and said, all right, well, they're gonna get the last shot. When you know it, they hit the last shot and they win the game. It's like, what are we doing? You guys are high school athletes, man. You're playing three sports most of your football players, your basketball players probably run track. Get out there and cover.
Yeah.
It's an interesting topic, and I don't know if we'll see the shot clock in my time. It's a possibility. I'm not quite on Jared's side saying I won't talk about it or watch it. I mean, it wouldn't bother me if they put a shot clock in, but just be consistent. That's all. I'm not all shook up that they don't, you know?
Isn't there a whole thing, too, of the – I mean, they obviously have to decide what the number would be. Would it be 40 seconds? Would they go all the way up to, like, a minute? You know, or something, that'd be ridiculous. But isn't there a side that, like, this all the schools would have to install shot clocks?
They would. That's a whole other
discussion. Like, who's going to pay for all these shot clocks to put in all these gyms or whatever?
Exactly.
Which is a whole other, like, side to the discussion. But
right. They would have to put a plan in to give schools, you know, let's say a 10-year plan to be able to upgrade their scoreboards, I would think.
Right.
But
hey, unless they all just got those little temporary ones that you just kind of plug in and sit on the floor and say, there's your shot clock.
I remember, like, LeBron made the comment, like, oh, this is not good for development of players, not having a shot clock. It's not like, again, if you tell me it's not going to, they think like it's going to turn into the NBA game. No, it's going to turn into even more zones because there's no drawbacks to ever running a zone. That's what it would be. So I don't know. I'm on my soapbox today. It's early. I got my coffee today, so a little bit more fired up. But I don't know. What else do we got to talk about?
Well, we're gonna take a short break, and then we're gonna come back and start talking a little bit. March Madness about ready to go. Tournaments are underway. The Big Ten tournament, and we'll get into that right after this.
It's much more than a gym. It's the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center. Stocked with a wide array of state-of-the-art cardio and strength equipment, the Wellness Center also offers a variety of fitness classes. Run, jog, or get your steps in on the raised sky track with views of the entire Memorial campus. As part of your membership, enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with private showers. Also included is use of the steam rooms, saunas, and therapy pool. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
Nelson House Funeral Home's number one goal is to serve the families in our area. The Nelson House staff are proud to serve our local community with reliability, integrity, and compassion. Unique service representing unique lives, ensuring your loved ones receive the honor and celebration they deserve. Founded in 1880 and continuing the tradition today with chapels in Owosso, Chesaning, and New Lothrop. For more details, find them at nelson-house.com or call 989-723-5234.
Are you ready to take your brand to the next level? Look no further. Introducing AZ Branding Solutions, where we help grow your brand from A to Z. At AZ, we're committed to helping businesses and organizations like yours reach new heights. Our full-service print and digital branding agency is your one-stop destination for all things branding. Need a stunning web or graphic design that captures your essence? We've got you covered. Want captivating social media content that engages your audience? Done. And that's not all. We're experts in video production and photography, ensuring your brand tells a compelling visual story. Plus, we specialize in screen printing and embroidery, turning your brand into wearable art that speaks volumes. Whether you're a startup or an established business, AZ is here to transform your brand dreams into reality. Ready to grow with us? Partner with AZ today and experience the difference. Visit our website at www.az.co or give us a call at 1-844-360-AZEE. AZ Branding Solutions, where your success begins.
All right, fellas, we're recording this on Friday, and Michigan State picked up a win over Minnesota, 77-67. So they got number one Purdue in the Big Ten tournament today. And on the other side of the coin, Michigan's horrific season finally over. So let's break it down. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's just cap this off. One of the better beat writers for Michigan, Zach Shaw. He writes for 247, 24/7 Sports. We retweeted this, but he tweeted out some statistics, like a little recap of Michigan's season. Basically, right. Historically bad season for Michigan. It was almost literally the worst season in Michigan basketball history. Most losses in program history, they lost 24 games. Most Big Ten losses in program history, they lost 17 Big Ten games. Tied for the most losses in a three-year stretch in the program. They've lost 55 games in the last 3 years, so that three-year stretch is bad. They finished dead last, no tie in last place, dead last in the Big Ten for the first time since 1967. The worst win percentage that the team has had since 1960. And then they ended the season. You know, they started the season pretty good, if people remember. They go back, they were okay at the beginning of the year because maybe not because, but Phil Martelli was coaching at the beginning of the season, if you remember right. that. Mm-hmm. But they ended the season 2-19. I honestly don't know. I don't know if you guys have been reading any of the reports like from Zach Shaw or some of the other beat writers or anyone else. It seems like Ward Manuel has said he's on board with Juwan coming back, but then some other people have said like they don't really see eye to eye, which makes you start to wonder, is this part of the reason Jim Harbaugh is now in the NFL? Is it a Ward Manuel situation? Like, is he really handling things right? Because there was a whole, we don't have to get into it, but there was an issue with the baseball team. You know, remember they went to the College World Series and then lost their coach. There was an issue with the hockey team, and there's been some other stuff under Ward Manuel's watch. So you just wonder what is going on? Cause you would say with all those numbers right there, how do you bring Juwan back? I mean, it's hard to justify bringing him back. I'm still on the side of like, but it's always that, like, what's the number? Like I was going to say, give him one more year, but like in college basketball, like is one more year, all of a sudden they're going to go to the Final Four next year. You know, probably not. So it's kind of hard to like set a number. Like we're giving you one more year to prove that you belong here. It's almost getting to the point where he's showing that maybe coming into this job after John Beilein, he had been an assistant coach in the NBA, but he had no head coaching experience. Maybe not quite cut out for the college game. Maybe he's more of an NBA assistant coach, maybe even an NBA head coach down the road, but maybe the college game just isn't for him because all those numbers I just rattled off, this team isn't void of talent. They have some good players. They should not be that bad. So an incredibly disappointing season for Michigan.
I'm so glad I didn't. I watched the first half of Michigan State versus Michigan the first time around, fell asleep. I am so glad that that's the only amount of time I wasted on this team. Oh my God. It's a comedy of errors. Like on Twitter, I still see like clips of like something hilarious happening every night they play. I'm with you, Ward Manuel. I think it all starts with him. So he was hired in 2016. It's like John Beilein leaves for the NBA, which was a very short stint. Who knows if he gave him a real sales pitch? Again, make him an offer he cannot refuse. Right. That was the start of all the problems. Like Juwan had a decent run. He clearly the train has completely gone off the tracks. But at the end of the day, to me, the root of the problem was letting John Beilein walk way back when.
Right.
And now we're seeing what's happening. You saw how perfectly ran that program was, how much they could win. And now we're seeing what it looks like when it's just like a rudderless ship. It's time to move on. I've been saying it for, I'll be honest, for once, I think I'm on the right side of a take. I've been saying this for 2-3 years now. I've been out on Juwan, man. It's time. I don't know. Maybe it's the NBA. Maybe he just needs to, try it somewhere else, get a little bit more experience, but this is not working. He hasn't been helped. Obviously there's been some admissions issues to me. I've always been like, okay, maybe don't target the 5% of players that aren't going to be able to get into Michigan. Let's go after the other 95%. But at the end of the day, there's a disconnect between the head basketball coach and the AD. That's not helping him. And he's had our issues. The team just is just not good. It's depressing. Yeah. Every time I talk about it, it gets me upset.
You know, Duke and Northwestern seems to figure out the admission issues. So that I throw that right out the door personally. I think and I do at this point, you know, and we always talk about receipts, but I'll say it right here. His time has run its course at Michigan. It's time to recharge, get somebody else in there. And that probably goes for Manuel too. I mean, you think about the strength and conditioning coach that left.
Right.
He's now with Illinois. I mean, a good athletic director, you would think, a good manager, a good boss, would pull the two together and say, guys, let's air it out here in this room, just the three of us. Let's get this under control. But, Jared, you talked about it a while back. It's no big secret. Juwan, he lost it when he slapped guard or his assistant and
right.
It's never been the same. It showed his true colors, you know. He's a little bit too volatile. His temper gets the best of him. When you got a guy like Beilein who just cool, calm, and collected the entire way, ran a good program. Juwan was handed some good players, but now we're seeing what he does with his own. They got to get somebody new. It's time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's fair to criticize how he's some of the personal, like you said, the volatile acts that have happened. I mean, that's just on him. You can't point at Ward. You can't point at Beilein, Phil Martin, like no one else. That's Juwan not being able to control his emotions, which is kind of who he is, you know.
It keeps happening. Yeah.
Right. And for it to keep happening. So then it starts to turn into, if he's trying to fix himself, obviously improve himself and not do that, is he being himself? You know, like, is he changing? Because, like, you know, Tom Izzo, obviously we don't have to get into, like, you know, his actions or whatever, but he's a very in-your-face coach, old school in-your-face. And he's if all of a sudden he, like, stopped doing that because he was listening to the outside noise, it'd be like, well, now you're not being Tom Izzo. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't – you have to be yourself. There's a reason you're the best coach in Michigan State history. It's because you coach the way that you do. So if you change that, all of a sudden, like, are you going to just lose control of your program? The admissions thing, I think, is a fair hurdle to get over for Michigan. But, right, John Beilein was able to figure out getting the right players in there that can get into Michigan and, you know, stick around for 2 or 3 years and build a program. Because, like, Michigan was supposed to get a transfer from North Carolina this year. Caleb Love couldn't get into Michigan because the admissions. He went out west, and he won Pac-12 Player of the Year.
Right.
There's a dude, Terrence Shannon, who they were supposed to get a couple years ago. He's now with Illinois, and he's like one of the best players in the Big Ten, but he couldn't get into Michigan because of admissions. So that is like a hurdle, I guess, but it would be like, figure it out, you know? Like, you knew that coming into Michigan. And like I said, John Beilein was able to figure out how to get the right guys into the program. Like you said, Ted, you know, Duke, other schools can figure out how to get the right players in or whatever. So figure it out. I mean, he was crying on the podium when he got hired. He clearly loves Michigan. So it's like, you knew what you were getting into when you got the job. I mean, figure it out. That's why I just wonder how, if he does leave, how it's going to happen. Cause you know, he's not going to quit.
Right.
He doesn't want to quit on Michigan this way. So he's not going to just flat out quit. You don't think that they would want the headline Ward Manuel fires Juwan Howard. I know you said you poo poo on the Fab Five, Jared, but Juwan Howard's a pretty big name for Michigan Wolverine athletics. They're not going to fire him. So like, are they going to be able to come in and be like, listen, I don't want to fire you. I know you don't want to quit. What can we do? Cause this is not working. That's the one thing I wonder, you know,
The little like devil or angel on my shoulder, I guess you could say, that is like kind of somewhat defending Juwan. One, again, the Wisconsin incident, like you lost all, you know, credence with me or any leeway on these issues. But also it's like, what are we doing? Caleb Love can't get admitted into Michigan, the best, maybe arguably best player in the country. Dude, just put him in. He's going to be in the NBA in a year. It's like, what are we? It's some of this stuff with college and everything, NIL, all this stuff. It's all dirty. Just get him in. Who cares? Right. Yeah, he a few of his credits don't transfer from North Carolina. If he's good enough to be able to be enrolled at North Carolina, or where's he at now? And then at now, Matt, in the back. Arizona. I mean, dude, just throw him into Michigan. It's not like this is some elite. It is an elite, prestigious university. But these basketball players, especially one like him, top notch player, he's NBA bound or he's overseas bound. Get him into the goddamn school. It's like if you're Juwan, you spent all this time recruiting a top guy, you get him, and then you just get him yanked right out from underneath you because, oh, well, he's six credits short. So what are we doing?
Yeah, that's pretty tough to deal with. And I will say this. I mean, you know, I'm calling for them to make a change. I do feel bad. I mean, Juwan does love the university. He did add a lot with the Fab Five stuff. If they can find an easy way or an amicable way to make the exit, maybe something along the lines of he needs to take time off for health, whatever it is, you know, I'm sorry to see it come to this point, but man, you cannot have a season like this ever again at Michigan. No. You know, you just can't.
No. While we're on the Michigan topic, I got something to say about the football program, and more so just, it comes back to Ward Manuel as a whole. Again, no NIL program. We're not bringing in any of these big recruits. Look at what Ohio State is doing. You know, I think they had like 12, 13 million dedicated to NIL this year. I hate to say it. I think, God, I don't want to say it because I like Sharon Moore. I think he's a good coach, but I think we are heading for some dark days at some point. Maybe it might not be this year, might not be the year after, but the way Michigan athletics is currently set up, it's not a winning formula. Jim Harbaugh, I mean, maybe he had an arm tied behind his back. Maybe that's why it took him freaking 10 years to finally get over the hump and get us to the promised land, but I don't know. To me, there's some glaring things. If you have an AD that's not rowing the boat with you, I mean, we talk about like ADs in high school athletics. It's like, man, how important it is to have that guy on your side to make your job a lot easier. It's like, imagine what it's like in college. You're not seeing eye to eye with somebody. I really worry that Michigan is not at the forefront of this new NIL movement, and it's going to lead to some dark times on the football field. I hope not. I think Michigan's a big enough brand where we're never truly, truly going to bottom out like we do with Rich Rod, right. But I don't think we're going to be able to stay at this national championship, Big Ten title level. And then it's coming out. It's like, we're doing stuff that like Ohio State was doing like 2 years ago. We're hiring running backs coaches from Ohio State. It's like, it's almost like we're seeing the exact same thing we saw with Madison, you know, whatever, 2-3 years ago, where it's like, just the tables are flipped. It's like, I don't like the vibes of that. Did you guys make anything of that hire?
I mean, it's a good hire because Mike Hart was the running backs coach at Michigan, and he stepped away for whatever reason. And so that was a big loss, but to get Tony Alford is who you're talking about. Yep. He was the running backs coach at Ohio State, and he's been there for a long time. I think he was there before Urban Meyer. So he's been there like with Ezekiel Elliott and all these stud running backs that Ohio State has had. So that's a huge hire for Sharon Moore to call him up and be like, hey, would you rather come to Michigan? I don't know. Like, was it dirty? I'd be curious what the conversation was. Cause it'd be like, you've been at Ohio State this long. Do you want to come to Michigan, your biggest rival? I think the big thing, Michigan obviously doesn't have the NIL, like you said, like Ohio State does, like Alabama, Georgia, some of these other schools. But they did get – they have something – they have it going. One of their cornerbacks, Quentin Johnson, he's kind of like a, you know, a number three corner. He's not like a stud starter type of guy. But he was going to go to the NFL. He came back because he got some NIL deal. And – so that shows that maybe NIL is working to get him to come back to Michigan.
Hope so, yeah.
It's not like he's a first round draft pick or whatever, but you know, a good player. I don't think Michigan is ever, like with the basketball program, like they're not going to just get kids into school. That's just not what Michigan is going to do. They're not just going to drop bags for transfers like Ohio State did. I think it's one of those things, fans or, you know, whoever, whatever you want to say, Michigan is never going to be that dirty SEC program that's just shoveling out money for players. They're going to figure out the NIL. They're going to figure out maybe like honest ways to do it. And yes, I'm sure there's boosters doing stuff behind the scenes like there is at every other school. I'm sure that's going on. But, you know, Michigan is always going to try and do things the honest way. Because what do they always say? That they're the Ivy League school of the Big Ten. So they're never going to do the stuff that, you know, like USC and Georgia and whatever they do. But more than that, I think the fans that are just saying this Michigan football thing is going to keep on rolling, the train is just going to keep on rolling with Shrone Moore and these hires that he's made. He's made some pretty good hires. I think it's more like you're discounting how good last year's team was, how good that coaching staff was, how good of a coach Jim Harbaugh is, how stacked that roster was. I mean, they had a roster full of guys that had been there 3, 4, 5 years, a quarterback that's probably JJ McCarthy going to go top five in the NFL draft in a couple of weeks. Like that to me is more like what could happen in the next couple of years. Like, Shrone Moore head coach last year, a couple games, but he's never been the full on CEO head coach of the University of Michigan. So aside from NIL, I think that's more with the football program, what we might see some growing pains there. Cause that team last year was stacked. Like when you like take a step back and think about that team and the coaching staff, it's like, geez,
the best defense I ever saw. Right. I think you start and stop there. Unbelievable freaking defense.
Yeah. You know, and then back to the nil for just a moment. We've talked about it before. It's out of control. I mean, when you talk about teams like Alabama and Ohio State just dropping bags, there needs to be a control on it, whether it be some sort of salary cap thing or something. It should be an equal playing field when they're dealing with the money. It's just greed gone haywire. And, you know, the game has changed so much because of it. It's not a good situation. And it, you know, I will say this kind of back to Michigan basketball for a second. Thank God we had the Michigan National Championship football team this year, right? Oh, or we'd be going really nuts on the basketball. I mean,
it'd be depressing.
we can ride that for a little while.
Right.
And we're starting to feel the effects of no Harbaugh, man. I mean, by now we'd have like 3 or 4 Harbaugh offseason topics to talk about. It's like, kind of back to the no exposure for Michigan almost, where it's like Shrone Moore. Like I said, I really like him. I think he's a good coach, can call a damn good offensive game.
Right.
But you don't get those fireworks, you know, once the season's over.
Well,
so what do we think? You mentioned Michigan State. They won their first game. So we're recording Friday morning. They're going to play Purdue.
Right.
Do we think this is shaping up? I mean, quickly, do we think this is shaping up for a Michigan State run? Like, are they turning things around March Madness, or is this going to be they're going to lose to Purdue and then probably be out in the second round of the NCAA tournament?
I think they'll lose to Purdue, but the latest projection I saw had them in Indianapolis as a 10 seed with Marquette again as their 2 seed, which if I'm a Marquette fan, I would be like burning down the NCAA. It's like, one, I think all of us can agree, we don't need to see that matchup again. Two, you're going to give us a game against a power five school like Michigan State with all the experience they have, Tom Izzo as their head coach, and we're going to be playing in Indianapolis. It's like, basically, you might as well give Michigan State the 2 seed at that point.
Right.
So we'll see the way it shakes out. But I'm telling you, they love Michigan State. I have no problem with it. A guy like Izzo, I want to see him go further in the tournament. That's a great story. So they're going to give him a good seed, and I'm for it. But if they give him a seed like that, where it's almost like blatantly unfair, playing in their backyard in Indianapolis, they will be in the Sweet 16, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, they got a shot. I don't think they'll go out right away in the tournament. We know for sure they're going to be in the big tournament. 19 wins, Michigan State, they're in for sure, no matter what happens against Purdue. I think Izzo is starting to figure it out. Not that he needs any advice from me, but, you know, he is figuring a way out to play Booker with the other bigs. You know, you just run your 4 bodies out there and, you know, and that's what you have. They're smaller guys, are pretty good. You just got to rely on them having good games. And I wouldn't count out Izzo when they get to the tournament. I mean, very well could be set up to a Sweet 16 performance, you know, the way they're playing right now. They've even the games they lost down the stretch, they actually played pretty good.
Yep. Yep. Could see it going either way. I mean, they have enough talent to make a Sweet 16 run, and we know Tom Izzo is capable.
One of the bigger stories here in the state, you know, we always want to watch our state schools. Oakland U, how about that? They made it to the dance. They beat Milwaukee without Rocket Watts, speaking of Michigan State. So Greg Camp's done a hell of a job over there in the 40 years he's been at Oakland. You know, back when I was younger, it was Michigan, Michigan State, and U of D, Detroit Mercy. But really, Oakland's become that third school in the state. You know, that's become a real good mid-major powerhouse.
What I love is he finds these guys from, like, I mean, a couple of their studs are Michigan kids. I mean, Trey Townsend, 38 points in the Horizon League final. He's from Oxford. Blake Lampman, who is close to our neck of the woods. Ted, you've actually called some of his games back in the day for Hazlitt. Right. He's a stud on their team as well. So it's like they're getting guys who are Michigan-made and Campy. I mean, just a legend. I always love how he's always scheduled Michigan State. That's always a great game every year. I'm excited to see what they do in the tournament. I think they're going to fall in the 14 seed line. And hey, for me, at that point, just take the 14 seed to win and, you know, ride the wave of that opening round game. If you win, you feel like a genius. If you lose, hey, it's just a point in your bracket pool. So that's the way I'm leaning on Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, and they have the talent to be that Cinderella team. I'm not saying make a Final Four run, but to first time in the tournament since, what, 2011?
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah, they're going to be riding on that. They're going to go in like with nothing to lose, that kind of mentality, like whoever they end up matching up against, that, you know, whatever seed they end up landing in, they'll go in there saying, let's just play our game. We got nothing to lose. Everyone's expecting us to lose. Everyone's picking against us, or they're only picking us, like Jared's strategy, to get that extra point.
Yep.
Let's just go in there and fire, you know, fire up shots and play our game and, you know, have that mentality. And I would love it. It'd be cool to see them win a couple games and make it to the second weekend, but you know, it'll be a tall task.
It will be. It depends. You know, it always depends where they go play to. Are they going to be sent out west? You just don't know. It's a big factor. And speaking of that, the brackets, you know, we have our annual bracket tournament, I'm assuming, coming up here, and you know, it'll be fun as always. The goal is to beat Jared and go from there.
Yeah. We'll reopen it again. There'll be some posts on social media. It'll be, same deal with Rivals Tap House and Grill with that great breakfast burger Ted was talking about earlier. And we always, you know, the prize is always a bunch of Rivals Tap House and Grill gift cards. So it's always, like we always say, it's always free to join. You're already joining a bunch of bracket pools. So go ahead and just join this one.
Yep.
There'll be posts on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else, and join it, try to win some Rivals cards and show Jared that he has no idea what he's talking about when it comes to March Madness.
Again, Dead last year. Let's throw that out. Dead last. That's impressive, man.
That is impressive. And before we move away from college basketball, I just got to throw this out there in the Big Ten women's tournament. You know, I watched all three games Caitlin Clark played in. That just shows you how important she is for the women's game, especially in the Midwest here. You know, when we get to the NCAA tournament, it'll be interesting to see Iowa match up against schools like LSU and South Carolina if they do have that meeting. But very impressive. I mean, obviously the greatest female basketball player of all time. I don't even think you can argue much with that, but I suppose there are some arguments. But just watching her play, watching Iowa play, it was a lot of fun, you know, in a sold-out arena up in Minnesota. Give the lady some credit.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's going to be exciting to see their tournament run. We're all crossing our fingers that they can make a deep push into the tournament and get us one of those big-time premier matchups, whether it's LSU, South Carolina. I think we're all looking forward to it. It's arguably more, I'm looking forward to maybe more than the men's tournament, or at least that singular team, that singular story is a better story than any team, anything going on in the men's season this year.
Yeah. The women's game has those couple like superstar players, Clark, Angel Reese, you know, and Dawn Staley over at South Carolina. A lot of people want to see that rematch. The SEC tournament, the championship game, South Carolina and LSU had some fireworks.
Woo.
Some
cat fights.
Yeah, so cat fights, you know, that it was still a great game, but, you know, not maybe the kind of stuff you want to see in a basketball game. But, you know, Dawn Staley, Kim Mulkey just can't really figure out. LSU hasn't beaten South Carolina in a really long time. And, you know, they got Haley Van Lith transferred in this year. So they thought this was going to be the year LSU can win it all. But South Carolina is a powerhouse. I mean, Iowa's good with Caitlin Clark, but they did lose some players. They're not as good as they were last year. So I feel like South Carolina would probably run them off the floor, but Caitlin Clark's good enough that she would keep them in the game. So
Did you, just speaking of which, this is almost old news, but like about a week ago, it was in the SEC, like I want to say semifinal game. Yeah, it was the game before the fight you're talking about, Matt. It was like Tennessee versus South Carolina. South Carolina undefeated. Oh, Tennessee's up by two points.
You get on your soapbox about the shot clock. This is what you're about to talk about. I could go on about that.
Dude, I don't know what was going on. All I saw was a clip on Twitter. I don't know if they had a timeout to talk things over before it. If they did, I have no idea what the hell their strategy was. So if you didn't see it, 1 second left, they're inbounding it at about half court. They inbound it to like their center, who I'm guessing can't really shoot. She catches it with 1 second left. Nobody decides to like run toward her, put a hand up, anything. Just basically they say, okay, she's a crappy shooter. Let's just let her shoot. She buries it and South Carolina wins. And Tennessee has like this look on their face of like absolute shock and surprise. That was such a just like idiotic play in so many ways. One, the way they set up, the girl guarding the inbounder was guarding nobody, standing halfway between 3-point line and the half court line. So basically you're down now 5-4. The person guarding the player who caught it was just standing underneath the rim. Here's what was so funny to me about it. It's like, okay, let's say, yeah, I get this girl can't shoot. There's 1 second on the clock. The second she catches it, there's no time to throw it to anybody else. Get out there and guard her.
Yep.
It made me want to pull out my hair. And it goes back to show you, like, I don't know if that's a coach's decision. I don't know what. Coaches make mistakes at all levels. And clearly they're still a pretty damn good team. They had South Carolina on the brink of their first loss of the season. But that was just utterly head-scratching. There's no other way to put it. Just a head-scratcher, man.
So you said, you know, the shot clock thing gets you fired up. One of the things in college basketball that gets me fired up is when plays like that happen. And whether it's a full court pass, whether it's, you know, they were passing it in from half court, you know, whatever. And again, I'm not a head coach. I'm not Johnny Fitel. I'm not your dad, John. You know, I'm not a head coach. Right. I've never coached basketball. I do not understand not putting a defender on the inbounder. It's one of those things I will never understand. It goes all the way back to 1992, the Duke Grant Hill pass to Christian Laettner, and he hit that shot at the foul line. Kentucky didn't put anyone on Grant Hill. So you got Grant Hill standing there he had to fire a full court pass, but it was no one there. If you have an athlete like Grant Hill or any college athlete, they probably practice this. They can throw a full court pass. Put a defender on him. Put your 10th person on the bench that is 6'8", 7 feet tall, and just have them wave to put no defender on him is already starting off making the play easy. So you're already starting off bad. So like you said, Tennessee, the defender wasn't even like double teaming anyone. She was just like standing 10 feet away, just like this, doing nothing. And then so Cardozo, the girl who hit the shot, that was her first 3-point ever made in her career. So they clearly were like, if she gets the ball, just let her shoot. Because, the defender, when she caught the ball, 10 feet off. But still, it's like, okay, you don't want to foul, but at least put like a little pressure on her. Because she is a college athlete. She could probably shoot a little bit. It was just all overall, like, what are you doing? I don't know if it was kind of a brain fart type of moment. They didn't know what South Carolina was going to do. But that whole not putting a defender on the inbounder,
it was
if like I was ever an assistant coach, if I was ever an assistant coach on the team, that would be my like one thing. Yeah. I don't care if you don't take my advice on anything else, put a defender on the inbounder, please. And just wave your arms, do anything.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Well, let's move on quickly to a couple other real topics here in the state. Of course, the NFL draft's coming up in April. Lions, some signings, you know, they solidified, I think, their defensive backfield. I think they had a pretty good solid offseason here with the signings. I mean, around the NFL, man, it's crazy with the free agent signings, like Cousins going to the Falcons, Barkley going to the Eagles, and on it goes. You know, you almost have to get a new roster sheet to see what's going on. But I think overall, personally, I think the Lions are headed in the right direction. No major real splashy moves, but it seems like they solidified some weaknesses to get them a little further, you know, towards their goal of a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they've signed some veteran corners, not necessarily like prime Darrell Revis type of cornerbacks, but we know how bad the Lions defensive backfield was last year. So signing anyone is an improvement. So they've done good there. DJ Reader, who they signed yesterday, defensive tackle from the Bengals, that's a great signing. I mean, he is really good. We know Hutchinson is a stud on the defensive line and basically had like no help last year. So again, signing anyone to help him take the pressure off of Hutchinson is good. Reader is a great run stopper. So that's always a good thing in the NFL. So yeah, I like what they've done, and because we know what they're going to do in the NFL draft, Brad Holmes has a great track record there. So the draft is still coming, and they have, I think, like 4 picks in the first 3 rounds. So they're hopefully you're getting four guys that are ready to step in and contribute, maybe not start, but contribute. So no, I mean, the Lions so far, I like everything they've done. Yeah. And they brought back Graham Glasgow, the offensive lineman, too. Great. Yeah. Great re-sign there.
That's a locker room sign. And, you know, he's also a decent player. How good is this Marcus Davenport, the edge guy they signed? Is he going to give Hutchinson some help?
At least some help. I mean, again, he's better than what they had. I'll say that, you know, I mean, is he Nick Bosa? No, but and he's probably not even as good as Hutchinson, but he's better than what they had. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have to spend a lot to get him, or, you know, it didn't cost a lot. So it's because the Bears are starting to sign a bunch of dudes. The Packers are making moves. So they've got to do something to keep up. So they're,
it's going to be an awesome division this year. Josh Jacobs to the Packers. What a fun little signing that is. It's going to be cool to see him in the Packers uniforms. It's not going to be fun to try to defend him as Lions fans, but
that's that right.
The one thing that I actually thought was a great move was getting rid of Gardner Johnson back to the Eagles. Just a failed tenure of a season. I know he kind of was hoping to have a big year and get a big payday, but whether it was the ski mask that I hated or unfortunately, he had fallen for this. He just got hurt right after that. Came back, had the big thing in the San Francisco 49ers game, which who knows how that reverberated around those sidelines where they kind of felt like they had already won the game, where he's waving to the crowd goodbye, you know, second quarter or whenever the hell that was. So I'm okay with letting him walk. I agree. I think all these are smart signings. No big splash signings necessarily, but just smart moves for guys who are a little bit deeper than some of these other big names out there. So I'm good with them.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to have a Tedertainment tonight here, and we always try to keep it tight, and we're not keeping it tight, guys. So, Matt, if you let me know if anytime you got to head out, but
should be good.
We'll have the Prep Spotlight presented by Jacobs Insurance Agency right after this.
The Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center is another great addition to the Owosso community. Start your wellness journey today by signing up for a 2024 membership. Get 15% off a yearly membership and 15% off your enrollment fee for new members. Membership gets you full use of the workout equipment, fitness classes like Pilates, yoga, spin, and many others. Relax in the steam room or sauna after your workout. Run, jog, or walk around the third floor Skytrack. Enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with sparkling clean private showers and other amenities. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
Jacobs Insurance Agency has served Shiawassee County and the surrounding areas since 1977. Just like 3-Point Podcasts, we've had 3 generations, Gary Jacobs Sr., Gary Jacobs II, Brian Jacobs, and myself, Noah Jacobs, serving our community with offices in Waterford and Owosso on M21 just west of Home Depot. Stop in or go online to jacobsinsurance.com to get a quote or get your questions answered by our team. Jacobs Insurance is a proud supporter of our local schools and the proud sponsor of the Prep Spotlight. Insure everything, local, independent, and trusted. It's our family working together to protect yours. That's the Jacobs way.
All right, guys, kind of a shorter one here today. We got the, we had the D3 regional final where Langsburg, I guess we jinxed them having their head coach on that day, but Lumen Christi down Langsburg 53-47 to finish 25-1 for the second straight season. But I mean, 50-2 for 2 years, not bad for Xander Woodruff and his senior teammates. And he finished with 30 in that game. So another great run by the Wolfpack. Sorry to see them go, but a great run.
Yeah. What can you tell us about that game against Lumen Christi? Sounds like Lumen Christi, who ended up, I think, losing to, was it Gabriel Richard? Is that right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. In the quarterfinals, but sounds like they just kind of had a lot of athletes that they were able to throw at Xander, and it just kind of was a little bit too much.
They did. I think, and you know, their defense, you know, a lot of times defense gets overlooked, but they really put clamp clamp down D on Langsberg. Langsberg, the other players were a little bit off kilter, you know, and once you get behind a little bit, it's tough to fight your way back. Still, it was a great season. Lumen Christi, got to give him some credit. Of course, it helped him to have the home court, too. You know, it was loud in there. And a big win by them there to get that regional championship. And the finals weekend, this weekend at Breslin, any storylines, Jared, that you have?
I mean, the number one, like I said, when people listen to this, we'll see. But my number one story right now, well, there's a few. So Warren Lincoln, who they like to call their offensive defensive scheme 32 minutes of hell. they are in their very first, you know, trip to the Breslin ever, just won their first regional ever. They're a really fun story in Division II, probably the favorite in Division II. But the biggest matchup, which is the nightcap tonight, is I want to say Grand Rapids Catholic Central. I want to make sure I have the right. There's so many Grand Rapids Catholic or I think it's Grand Christian. Rapids Catholic, actually. Christian, right. I think it's Grand Rapids Christian. Grand Rapids Christian versus Chelsea, who Chelsea, their stud is Joey Cabana, who Cole Cabana is like his cousin, Michigan right, running back. But his mom is the head coach. And she won a state finals 2-3 years ago with a girls team. I'm blanking on the school's name. But that's a really fun story that, hey, this is your star player is your son. It's just a cool story. I've never heard of a mom coaching a son like that. I don't know if you have, Ted, but
no, that's an awesome story.
Yeah. And then obviously you have Trey McKinney, the Flint kid who ended up, you know, because of the way Flint schools are right now, had ended up at Orchard Lake St. Mary. They seem to be the team that nobody can touch, in Division One. So we'll see if anybody can upset them, but those are kind of the few main stories I have picked out right now.
Quick question on Orchard Lake St. Mary. I know the kid from Ovid Elsie transferred and went to school there. And is he concentrating only on football, or is he on the basketball team? Do you know?
I have no idea, to be honest. Sorry to put you on the spot. I don't know. I don't think he's on, I don't believe he's on the basketball team.
Okay.
Or at least not one of the first names that comes to my mind when I think of their team, but I don't believe so. Okay. I'm not sure what the deal is with that, to be honest.
Well, another big weekend at the Breslin for sure with the boys. On the girls' side, in D3, New Lothrop, a little bit of a surprising late run this year. They picked up a 41-38 win in the district finals. So, I mean, actually, they picked up a win in the regional finals, so they're on to the quarterfinals now. They're led by a freshman and sophomore. I mean, they have a freshman that put up 29 points in the district final, Caitlin Wendling, and she had 23 and 10 rebounds in their regional game. So New Lothrop Hornets, again, doing it on the girls' side, 20 and 7 on the season in the quarterfinals. So good luck to them next Tuesday. They play their quarterfinal up at Dansville.
So now you'll be talking about them for the next 2 or 3 years. If they've got a freshman and sophomore leading this run,
you'll
be hearing more about them.
They might hang another banner there to try and catch up to Lumen Christi. Who knows? And one final story I got, I think you guys will appreciate this. Tyrone Wheatley, the former Michigan standout running back, was just named an inductee into the National High School Hall of Fame. I mean, just an amazing running back in his day. I mean, he was a three sport star in high school. He played 10 years in the NFL. So congratulations to him. And now I think he's the head coach at Wayne State, isn't he?
Wayne State.
Yeah. But he was before this year's Michigan Wolverines, he was probably my top running back that I ever remember at Michigan. He was fantastic.
Oh, he was incredible. And he's the first Michigan jersey I ever had, number 6. Okay. He's probably my first, because he was early 90s.
Yep.
He's like my first vivid memory of Michigan football, him and then of course Desmond Howard. Because I was young, 6, 7, 8 years old, but I remember watching him in those Rose Bowls, huge shoulder pads. I mean, just an incredible athlete.
Fast.
It's always we've talked about this before on the pod, but it's always the tall tale that he won a track state title by himself because he was so good at every event. Now, I will say, he tweeted something out at one point, and I replied to a tweet. And he was tagged in it. Right. And I said, like, you know, the legendary story of Tyrone Wheatley winning a track state title by himself. And he actually replied, this was like 4 or 5 years ago. And he said, I didn't win it by myself, but I did win a lot of events. So it's a little bit of a skewed story that he won the track state title by himself, but
the myth was he scored every point and they won the state title. He scored 40 out of 49. Okay. He won four events. So he pretty much won the title for him.
Well, the question is, what was the second place's team's score? If they had 39 or lower, then he won it by himself.
That's a good point. Good point.
That's a good point.
Yeah. He was a stud, that's for sure. You know, he was a parade All-American in football, 67 touchdowns in high school football. Unbelievable. And he was All-State in basketball. So well-deserved honor. Little side note, joining him from Michigan, there's 10 players, 10 former athletes in the National High School Hall of Fame. Number 10, Brad Van Pelt from Owosso is also in that Hall of Fame. So Tyrone gets to join him. All right, guys, let's take one more quick pause and finish strong with a Tedertainment tonight, right after this.
Success Group Mortgage and Servicing is Shiawassee County's only licensed mortgage broker, lender, and servicer. That means you get exclusive products not found anywhere else. If you are looking to purchase a home or refinance a home in Florida, Hawaii, or Michigan, stop what you're doing and give Success Group Mortgage and Servicing a call. 989-720-4380. That's 989-720-4380.
Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services is the official and exclusive realtor and broker for 3 Point Podcast. Corey and her team have been providing personal, exemplary service in real estate sales since 2004. Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services are total professionals helping you sell your current house or buying your dream home. Stop in at 216 West Exchange Street in Owosso, get info online at coreyshook.com, and follow on Facebook at Corey Shook Realtor for more details. If you are looking for honesty, ambition, and expertise, you're looking for Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services.
All right, guys, Academy Award was last week. I watched five of the films, Oppenheimer, Barbie, The Holdovers, Maestro, which was kind of an underrated film with Bradley Cooper, and Poor Things. Let's start with Poor Things.
Yeah.
Matt, I know you had a chance to watch it. I just got to tell you guys, I think you're more into researching movies before you watch them. Correct me if I'm wrong. This one, I just knew it was nominated. I saw one clip with Emma Stone and thought, oh, this looks interesting. I'm going to try to watch as many Academy Award nominated movies before the show. So we just flipped it on one day and it was one of those movies. Like we got done watching it and we both said, my wife and I, we go, that was interesting. about halfway through, I said, bonus, quite a bit of nudity here. I didn't know about, but, but anyway, I'd like to hear your review on this, Matt, before I jump in.
Yeah, so I didn't even really know much about it. I'll pay attention a little bit to the Academy Awards. I've never been super into those. So I know you like to try and I have some other friends too that try and watch all the best picture nominees or the best actress nominee. I have some friends that do that too. I've never been too big into that. My wife actually saw the preview for this and mentioned it to me. So we watched the trailer on Hulu and I was like, We were both like, this looks kind of weird, but Emma Stone, of course, she's a fantastic actress. She ended up winning Best Actress for her role in this. It looked pretty weird. And then I remember you said the same thing, like kind of a strange movie. And we were like, let's give it a shot. And you need to go into it with an open mind because it is as weird of a movie as you can even imagine. I don't even know what I could say about it to give it justice. It obviously is very good because it was nominated and won awards. It's shot very interestingly, very like artistic, the way that it's shot. The story is the strangest story you can ever imagine, but it's really well done. If you can get past the weirdness, I guess there is a lot of nudity and, sexual content. So if you don't like that stuff, you probably don't want to watch it either, but, she's great in it. Obviously, she won Best Actress. She played her role extremely well.
She was unbelievable. Fantastic
playing the role that she did. It's just an interesting movie. It's one of those, you watch and you want to stick with it because you want to see how it plays out. It's also, there's so many parts where you're like, what the heck is going on?
Well, it's funny. My sister was talking to my wife about it and she says, I heard that's a porn movie. And my wife goes, no, it's not. There is nudity. But my wife, she kind of tied it all up perfectly. She said, you know, it was a really interesting movie, and you just could not stop watching it. You just, right. You were just totally engulfed in that movie. And that's how I looked at it. And if for anybody out there that wonders what it's about, it is very strange. It's kind of a modern day kind of takeoff on Frankenstein, you know, a different right. angle of Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein. So I think it's
Frankenstein. And then, like, you know, the scientist or the surgeon, I guess, exactly. if you want to say, like, playing God, you know, like yeah. doing some of that. It, yeah. Frankenstein is probably the better comparison, I guess.
Well, kind of interesting when you mentioned God, because his name was Godwin. And when you first, right. when the Emma's first talking to him, she's calling him God, you know, right. that's kind of, I think that's intentional, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like you said, you want to stick with it because you kind of you grasp onto her character. You right. want to see how, you know, how things play out with her, make sure she's okay in the end and all that. But
well, Mark Ruffalo got nominated for the Academy Award too, as supporting actor, and he was yep. also fantastic in it.
He's I thought really good.
What an interesting role, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, really good. I would give it personally, I don't know if I could go full 3 out of 3, my personal, you know, our 3-point yeah. podcast scale. I liked it. I probably, you know, won't necessarily go back and rewatch it again. I'd give it a good 2.5 at least, because it is really good.
Yeah.
Not probably, one of those that I'm going back to watch 10 more times or whatever.
I'd probably go a little higher personally, just because, you know, there's a lot of movies that are the same old thing out right. there, yeah. you know, like superhero movies and stuff like that. You know how I stand on that. But this one was completely unique and just bizarre. It was well acted, so I'd give it a solid 2.9 myself. I mean, if you can't stop watching a movie and you're still thinking about it afterwards, that goes high up the ladder for me. Now, I know you watched a couple of things recently, haven't you?
Yep. So I'll throw these out. Jared had to step off real quick, but he'll be back. But so we'll wait to see, because I think he had a couple things too. But and these are two that he probably would not be as interested in, because they're more like true crime type stuff. So on Netflix, there's one called The American Nightmare. Mm-hmm. It's about a couple. This happened in like 2015, 2016, is out in California. This couple ended up getting a crazy home invasion in the middle of the night. It was a boyfriend, girlfriend. The girlfriend got kidnapped and taken away. She ended up, there was a bunch of other stuff that happened to her. The boyfriend like got drugged. And so when he came to, he called the cops, and, you know, he went to the police to try and find her. A ton of crazy stuff play out that, you know, the cops, the FBI didn't believe his story of how crazy it was. It was around the time that movie, the Ben Affleck movie, Gone Girl.
Came yeah.
out.
Yeah.
And yeah. it's basically, so they started saying that she was trying to play out the Gone Girl movie. They did not believe him one bit. They were trying to pin like a murder on him. It goes through, it's one of those, again, when you see the interrogation footage and what the FBI and the police were doing to him, it almost makes you wonder, like, who are they really out for? Like, are they right. really out to help these people, or they were trying to basically get him to admit to murdering her? And it starts to make you be like, man, are the police, or is the FBI, are they really out to help us? You know, it's one of those situations. And it ends up, you know, they go through, it's a 3-part, it's about an hour. So, you know, you can, an hour per episode, you can knock it out pretty quickly, but it's just crazy how it all plays out. It ends mm-hmm. up kind of not necessarily happy ending type of thing because of everything that happened to the couple, but, they end up catching the person, and they figure out that they were telling the truth, and, you know, it was not a Gone Girl situation, but it's just crazy how it all played out.
Yeah.
And how they had to go jump through so many hoops. And finally, like, one little thing happened, like what normally happens in these stories. One little thing happened that, like, opened up that, you know, they were telling the truth. And
yeah, the story was very bizarre. I remember seeing yeah. it originally on Dateline or 48 Hours or something. And then my wife and I did watch the first two episodes. Okay. We're waiting to watch the third episode probably this weekend or today later. So yeah, it was a very interesting one.
Yeah. I feel like I remember hearing about, you know, the Gone Girl story, you know, out in California, mm-hmm. but I didn't remember any of the details. But I would definitely recommend it. If you like true crime type stuff, that's a very good one. And then the other one that we watched is called The Program, also on Netflix. And this one is just, again, another crazy, bizarre, It's about these facilities that parents send their kids to, basically like detention facilities, or that parents send their kids to if they need, you know, special care or whatever, mm-hmm. or, you know, if they're troubled teens. And apparently there's this whole, not as much now because they've been shut down, but there used to be this whole system of schools that parents would send their kids to if they were, you know, getting into trouble or whatever, and they needed to be straightened out. But what's come out is that there was just so much, you know, what you can imagine, so much abuse, sexual abuse, and just all this insanely crazy bad stuff happening at these school facilities. But like it's kids from the school that went through this program doing this documentary, exposing these schools because they were shut down, files were left behind, they're going and they're just exposing all the teachers and everything that were in these schools. And it's just a crazy to think that parents were sending their kids to these facilities thinking that they were getting like a good education, getting straightened out. But really what it all comes down to, like everything, it was greed. It was, you know, the people who were organizing it, basically stealing money, manipulating the kids, brainwashing the parents into thinking that they were, you know, doing something good for their kids. And it's just, it's really sad. And, you know, it's again, one of those, it's a three part. So, you want to see how it all plays out, and really well done by the kids who put out the documentary. But it's just, there's some parts that are hard to watch because it's like, geez, these are kids getting put through these situations. Like they couldn't talk, they couldn't look out windows, they couldn't like call their parents. Everything they did was being controlled. And it's just, it's crazy to think that people can do this and think like it's okay.
It really is. You know, you're talking about the first one, the Gone Girl one, and my wife has a real hard time when they start talking about the sexual abuse stuff, you know, right. in detail. Do they do that on this one? I just want your opinion on that before I tell my wife, let's watch this.
Not too bad. I mean, they talk about it. They bring it up as stuff that went on, but they don't go into like great deep detail.
Do
have security footage, not of that stuff, security footage of like physical of the teachers like restraining kids and doing stuff that it's just like, it's crazy. Like I said, it's not something like you want to know about. It's just, it's an interesting watch, and it's more like one of those true, it's not necessarily a true crime, but one of those that it's just, it's interesting, you know. It's crazy to think that parents can get like so brainwashed, or they want to help their kids so bad that they'll believe anything that these people are telling them, pay thousands and thousands of dollars, sending their kids away,
right,
thinking that they're doing something good for their kids, but really, you know, they're really like traumatizing their kids.
Yeah, it kind of ties into, you know, here in Michigan just recently, you know, the mom and dad of the Oxford high school shooter were just convicted of four counts of manslaughter. The dad was just convicted last night. So it kind of ties in. What do? You know, if you're a parent, you got a kid that really needs help, you would hope that if you need to send him somewhere, he would be taken care of. He or she would be taken care of. But obviously things like the program shows you that it goes awry. Yeah. You know, off topic before we wrap this thing up, you know, the big news here just recently, politically anyway, they're trying to get rid of TikTok, you know, that's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes down. But the reason I bring that up is it kind of ties together with social media. Do you ever, when you're flipping through your Twitter or your social media pages and you see some of these unbelievable videos of kids beating the hell out of somebody, or, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It seems prevalent. I mean,
it's crazy. I mean, you remember, fights happen in high school, middle school, whatever, you know, it's just something that's always happened. But it seems like, I don't know if it's again, because we see it in front of our face on social media, it seems like it's happening more than it used to. And I don't know how it was in your day. I can imagine, but like when fights would happen, it used to be, you know, maybe they fight for a minute and then people would break it up.
Maybe you
let them do what they need to do. And then, you know, whether it's a teacher or whether it's, you know, other kids, you break it up. And now I can't believe how many kids, they've got their phones out and they're just letting these kids like fight. And a lot of times, sadly, it's one of them getting like beat up pretty bad or something. And I can't imagine letting that happen, watching and letting. I remember vividly breaking up multiple fights in high school, even if it wasn't a friend, even if, you know, whatever. It's like, you're not going to let one of your classmates or one of your people, even if you're not friends with them. And it's just a crazy thing that kids want clout, is, you know, what they say. They want to get famous. They want to be the ones that have the video that
clicks.
Goes viral on social media. And, you know, we don't have to get into a whole like social media discussion, but it does seem to be an issue, obviously, because instead of like helping people out, they want to record the fight and post it on social media.
Well, it's just sad crazy. Because, you know, again, there's a lot of halfway decent stuff on social media, but when you're scanning through there and you see some of these things, and they are clickbait, because you know, I got to take a look at this. You know, I saw one the other day where all these people are running. It was a shooting in Columbus. I don't know if you saw this one, but all these people are running and they're darting in the door of this business, and the guy that's chasing them, shooting at them, gets shot by the cops right before he goes in the door. Right. It was, you could not watch it, but I mean, it's unbelievable that somebody's filming this.
Just filming it. And then now it's out there just for everyone to watch on social media or whatever. And it's like, it's definitely, because there's a lot of good stuff on social media, obviously. And it's a good way to get connected with people and share content, whether it's sports or just news, information, whatever, weather, you know, everything. But then there's just so much bad stuff. And banning TikTok is the way to go, I don't know. But
I don't know about that either. I had a chat with my wife about that. I mean, we know it's run by China, but come on. I mean, it is kind of stepping on the whole free speech right that we have in this country. So again, we'll have a debate on that another time. Yep. We could talk a whole podcast about that kind of stuff. Yep. Well, let's call it a pod. Jared did have to step away for some work duties. So again, we want to thank all our partners, including Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center. Make sure you talk to a rep or go online, see what discounts are available for memberships. Get healthy and get in shape. Details at memorialhealthcare.org. We also want to thank our other great partners. They include AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services, Nelson House Funeral Homes, Rivals Tap House and Grill, and Success Group Mortgage and Servicing. And don't forget, check our social media page. Where do they find us at? At 3 Point Pod, right?
Yep, at 3 Point Pod, or just search 3 Point Podcast on Facebook. And I assume you're alluding to, we'll be doing posts about our bracket pool. It's always free to join. So
let's get a record amount this year. We've had great support the years we've done it. We'll have gift certificates for Rivals and some other prizes to give away. So definitely be on the lookout for that. Yep. All right, Matt, great talking with you and Jared again. Peace and love, everybody. Be kind. Thanks for listening.
Hey, gang, please consider a donation to the ALS Association Michigan chapter, serving people with ALS and their families since 1988. There still is no cure for Lou Gehrig's disease, and every 90 minutes, someone is diagnosed with ALS. For more details, go online at webmi.alsa.org.
3 Point Podcast is a Sportsnet Michigan 3 Point Podcast production. Subscribe and share on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or any of your favorite podcast hosting sites. Comments and questions can be sent via social media at 3 Point Pod or by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.